You know, Corrie ten Boom wrote a book called The Hiding Place. Remember that? And when I first saw her, she was probably in her 80s. She's passed away now, but she was probably in her 80s, and it was in the 1970s. Corrie ten Boom was, she lived in Holland, and when Germany came in, her family hid Jews from the Germans, and then and finally arrested her and her family, and she spent some time in the German Nazi concentration camps. And when she got out, Corrie went into the ministry as a, not as a, an ordained minister, but she just was used as a speaker all throughout the body of Christ. Her main message was forgiveness, and she dealt with issues of forgiveness and that kind of thing. But I just remember, the thing that I pictured, that I remembered, was her standing in front of a pulpit. You know, she had to hold on to the pulpit because she was quite old and couldn't stand up for the length of time that she spoke. But I remember talking about how God weaves our lives with all the different, all these different colors of threads. And she was showing us this tapestry from the back, and she was showing, it was just a jumble. It was just a big mess, you know. And she was getting across the point that from our side, many times, that's what our life looks like. It doesn't make sense. And there's a lot of things you'd wonder, well, why are you doing what you're doing? But then when she turned it around, it was a beautiful crown with all these jewels and all these things on it. From God's side, He sees the crown. From our side, many times, we see just a jumble of threads that don't seem to make sense. And I don't know why I was thinking about that this morning when it comes to this particular meditation. I wrote this a few years ago. Actually, I wrote it in 1988, and we did it a couple of times in our church over on Riverside. And then I kind of put it away for a long time, and I brought it out a couple of years ago and sort of worked on it a little bit more. And I want to spend some time with you just kind of considering the symbols and the colors of Christmas. So if you'd kick back and relax. Don't expect somebody to preach at you today, but just listen to the words that I share with you and use your imagination to picture colors and things that some of them are in front of you. But this is called The Colors of Christmas. In the renewal movement, Curcio, the story is told about a group of men who spent a retreat weekend together and had a life-changing encounter with God. Coming down from the mountain where this retreat was held, they heard children singing the Spanish folk song, De Colores, which means, oh, the colors. They then noticed how the world around them had changed. Everything seemed so much brighter and alive. They noticed the colors around them as if they had never seen them before. They knew, of course, that the world hadn't changed at all, but they had. Jesus had come into their lives, and the world around them now looked different. Christmas. Christmas is a season of colors. The ancient church used various colors to symbolize different aspects of the gospel message and each season of Christian growth. The many colors of Christmas, the various colored lights, the smells, the ornaments, the wrappings, all can speak to us of the life that our Savior Jesus Christ came into the world to bring. A Christian doesn't have to live life in black and white. A Christian can experience all the colors of life and find joy in each one. That is God's gift to us, the gift that Christmas speaks to us about. Color, it's the gift of God. And it's celebrated at Christmas more than any other season of the year. Christmas is a season of color. So let us celebrate this season of color by remembering the many colors and some of the truths that each color brings. let us also celebrate the Lord of color, the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Black. Black is not a jumble of color, but it's the absence of it. Black is the opposite of color, can speak to us of the opposite of life, which is death. Black reminds us of what we once were, dead in our trespasses and sins. Black reminds us of the reason that Jesus had to come into this world. Black, the color of sin and death, speaks to us of the awful price that that tiny child born in Bethlehem would have to pay. Yet for us, because of the love and the power of that small child who came into the world on Christmas Day, black can even be transformed into a color of wonder. Death has now become for us the door to eternal life. And even our darkest moments can be redeemed for God by the marvelous grace of which this season speaks. The Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, but God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The evergreen tree. In the pagan world, the evergreen tree was a symbol of eternal life because it was always green and fresh, even when all the other trees lose their color. The tree is a creation of beauty. It brings a shade from the heat. Wood to build our homes, keep them warm. And from many trees, varieties of food to sustain our lives. A tree is what was used to be shaped into a manger in which the tiny Son of God was laid. However, for the one who created it, the tree also became an instrument of death. How many years did that particular tree grow and bring joy to those around until one day it was chopped down, shaped into a cross, upon which to execute the one who gave it life? The Christmas tree reminds us not only of eternal life, but of the life and destiny of the Savior whose birth we celebrated during this season of the year. It's not with sadness or disgust that we look upon that tree, for it's because of that timber of wood and who died upon it that we now live and enjoy relationship with God. An early message by the apostles, they said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging Him on a tree. He's the one whom God exalted to His right hand as a Prince and Savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Red. Red's a wondrous color. It's the color of life. Red is the color of redemption and is the living stream which flows from page to page in the Scriptures we hold so dear. Red was the blood that poured from that first animal sacrifice that clothed our ancient parents, Adam and Eve, after their fall. Red was the blood of the ram caught in the thicket where Abraham was prepared to offer Isaac. Red was the color of those marks of blood on the doorways of the Israelites that protected the Israelite children when all the firstborn of Egypt were slain by the angel of death. Red was the color of string hung from the window of Rahab the harlot that protected her and her family from sure destruction at Jericho. Red was the color that stained the ground around a piece of wood upon which the Savior of the world had been hung. That precious red blood was priceless, for it purchased the salvation of all mankind. Red is a wondrous color. It's the color of life. It's the color of redemption. The Apostle Peter wrote, "You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." White. White is the color worn by brides, by kings and priests. White is the color of innocence, the color of purity. Priests wore white on the Day of Atonement, the day which they approached the Holy of Holies. David humbly wore a simple white garment as he danced before the Lord. Jesus was clothed in brilliant white upon the Mount of Transfiguration. White speaks to us of the purity of Jesus, born into a world of soiled and stained humanity. Tempted as we were, yet without sin, this pure Son of God is the only one who ever walked upon the face of the earth in which darkness had no part. He would one day pay the price for all of mankind's soiled and spotted hearts. What was the reason for this sacrificial gift of love? That he might present to himself the church, you and I, in all her glory, clothed in pure white, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. White also reminds us of the brilliance of God's glory. It was this brilliance that triumphed over the grave in Jerusalem, from which the soldiers who had been sent to guard hid their eyes. White is the color of victory, his victory and ours. In one of those incredible scenes from the book of Revelation, the Apostle John writes, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and tribe and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Green. like the tree, green reminds us of things fresh and new, of things vigorous and growing, of things alive. It was Isaiah who prophesied about Jesus, that he would grow up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. In a world that was dead and barren, a freshness came, the life of the Son of God. Everywhere he went, people breathed of his newness and were filled with hope. Color the Son of God green, for it's the color that speaks of his life in contrast to the parched barrenness around him. Green reminds us of what our own life in Christ can be. It doesn't have to be stagnant, but rather moving, growing, changing, alive. What we were yesterday, we don't have to be tomorrow. We all are being transformed from glory to glory. Christ came into this world not to give us a new law or a dead religion, but life. Life that is renewed day by day. Color us green, for it's the color of things alive. And in Christ, we are alive forevermore. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well and said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Purple traditionally is the color of suffering and struggle. In the ancient world, purple was expensive because it was difficult to make and difficult to come by. Purple reminds us of the pain that Jesus suffered at the hands of his creation. Whenever we imagine the peaceful scene of that stable in Bethlehem, let's not forget that that scene was anything but peaceful. Search for a suitable place to deliver this child. The endless response of "no room" were merely a foretaste of a whole life to come. Suffering and struggle would surround that child and anyone who drew near to him. Jesus himself warned his disciples that tribulation would characterize their lives. Yet, they wouldn't be overcome by it. Purple reminds us of difficulty and suffering as we live in a world filled with sin and death. Being a Christian doesn't immunize us from suffering, but it does give suffering a new meaning. For purple is also a royal color and is a symbol of royalty and power. In the kingdom of God, the kingly virtues of godly character and power grow out of struggle and suffering. The color purple offers a promise that struggle and suffering lead to victory. And being a blend of colors speaks to us that life is a blend of experiences. God uses the mountains and the valleys, the good times and the struggles, to create within us his kingly nature. The Apostle Paul wrote, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Does grace have a color? Grace is God's acting in behalf of men to reveal Himself, to bring forgiveness, healing, and strength to our lives. Grace was ultimately manifested in that helpless baby who was born on Christmas Day. Grace is not something we can earn or strive for. It's God's gift. Grace comes from God. In times of need, we pray with David, "To thee I lift up my eyes, O thou who art enthroned in the heavens." When we lift our eyes to the heavens, there is one beautiful color that fills our vision, one color that reminds us that we need someone greater than ourselves to meet our needs. One color more than any speaks of God's grace. That color is blue. Blue, the color of the heavens, reminds us that God shines His light on both the good and the evil. It rains on both the just and the unjust. God gives His gift of love indiscriminately, and we can all partake of His grace if we simply respond in faith. Grace specifically came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. That little baby was more than a child of earth. He was a child of heaven. Jesus was God's grace in the flesh. His color was blue. Apostle John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Silver and gold are the colors of the most precious metals on earth. They remind us of two important events that occurred during the life of Jesus. Two events that were spoken about hundreds of years before they ever occurred. The Old Testament prophets spoke of a star that would appear, and kings from the east who would come and worship. They did come. They saw His star, and they followed it. They searched for that newborn king. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they worshiped Him. They gave the most precious gifts the world could offer, and all wondered at the destiny of that small child around whom these miraculous events occurred. But the prophets also spoke of another, one who would buy a burial ground with His price of betrayal. 30 pieces of silver was His wage. 30 pieces of silver is what the life of our Lord was valued at. 30 pieces of silver will forever be etched in our mind as the wages of a traitor. gold and silver. To give it away can be an act of worship. To value it more than our very souls is our sin. Gold and silver remind us of two responses to the message of Christmas. We can respond in faith and give all that we are to the one of whom Christmas speaks. Like the Magi who traveled so far, we too can find the one who alone can answer our heart's search. On the other hand, we, like Judas, can reject the Christ of Christmas and be satisfied with a few silver trinkets. Christmas presents us with a choice, and the colors of silver and gold remind us of our choice. Which do we choose? The Apostle Peter writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." There are sincere Christians today that want to point out that Christmas is a pagan holiday, and that many of the traditions of Christmas have their roots in ancient paganism. But like the witch in C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they have forgotten the deeper magic that existed long before those old pagan traditions. For you see, our God is before all things. He's the creator of all things. He's the creator of color and joy and wonder and love. Many of those pagan traditions were about the things that God created. And when the gospel entered the pagan world, church leaders recognized that underneath some of those ancient celebrations and rituals, truths about God and his relationship to man were preserved. So like Paul in Athens, they in effect said, "What you worship in ignorance, let us now tell you the truth about." Many, therefore, those traditions were reframed by the church to serve the higher purpose of worshiping the one true God and proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. Christmas, the sights and colors, the smells, the traditions of family holiday meals, the giving of gifts, the singing of songs, colored lights, decorations, and candles. In fact, all the joys of Christmas are God's gift to us, and we were meant to celebrate them well. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." So let us celebrate the colors of Christmas. Let's remember the love of God come to us in the form of that one whose birth we celebrate this time of year. And let us delight in his love, love one another, and worship him who has made all this possible. In the words that angel sang on the night of his birth to shepherds in a field, Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Peace among men with whom he is pleased. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Just picture, use your imagination to picture the things that are most dear to you at Christmas time. In all of them is a message from God. I'm old enough and have been through enough life to know that Christmas time doesn't always bring positive things to us. Many of us, it shouts at us that some things are broken. But if you look to the sights and the sounds that shout at you of God's love and God's work in the midst of whatever you offer to him, your heart should be filled with hope and peace. So while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, is there one person, I just got this sense that there's somebody here that needs to just offer their life to God, like the Magi from the East who came and offered gold and silver and the stuff that they had, the treasures that they had. Your greatest treasure that you have actually is not the stuff that you own. It's you. And I can think of no better way to begin Christmas together than for you to offer your most precious thing, yourself, to the God who created you and loves you. And if that's what you want to do, a simple act, a simple movement of rising to your feet and holding out your hands in front of you, saying to him, "Here I am, God, I offer me," would be a most powerful gift. So I give you that opportunity. If there's a stirring in your heart right now, you want to give God something precious, as you give him your life. Whether it be the first time or whether it be a morning prayer, Lord, when we acknowledge you and we lift our voice to you and respond to your call, all heaven rejoices. Lord, I pray for our sister right back there. I pray that she'll know that in her heart, that she will hear with her spiritual ears all of heaven now shouting with joy because she said yes to you. Bless her. Encourage her. In Jesus' name.